this one is two pieces, you know. But there was another duster here which I used Sunday gone. Yes, we have been looking on these Latin. You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. So far we have looked on three lessons. One, you do not believe the Bible. You reject the Old Testament. That is one of the accusations directed against the Lord's church. Another strange thing that have been directed against the Church of Christ is that you think only you and your little group will make it to heaven. Another strange accusation directed against the Church of Christ is you talk about and you criticize other churches too much. And yet another strange accusation that have been directed against the Lord's body is you do not believe in the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion. These are four lessons we have looked at. Today we look at yet another one. And this accusation that is directed against the Lord's church is this. You do not believe in music in the worship. You do not believe in music in the worship. Let me begin by saying to those who might have felt that, to any who might have directed such an accusation against the Lord's church, I say explicitly today that we do believe in music in worship. Because Jesus Christ commanded it. In case you didn't hear, I repeat. We do believe in music in worship. Why? Jesus Christ, whom we worship, commanded it. To just help you to understand better where we are coming from, we do believe in eating in worship. That's right. We believe in eating bread in worship. Are you there? We do believe in drinking in worship. Are you there? We also believe in studying in worship. Now, the important heavy heaven and hell question. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? Thank you for asking. The important, it's not just an important question. It's a question that has to do with both heaven or hell. What is that question? I just told you that we do believe in eating, in worship, or eating bread. The question is, and it relates to our hell or our heaven. The question is, what kind of bread? Mr. Mitchell, the kind of bread is important. Yes! You see, you have white bread. You have brown bread. You have whole wheat bread. You have whole grain bread. So, Mr. Mitchell, it depends on which you like. No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You following? It depends on what bread Jesus Christ commands. Watch here. If we put in the communion the 100% whole wheat bread. But Mr. Mitchell, that is good for you. Yes, but that's not good for Jesus Christ. We would sin. You know why? He has told us what bread to put here. It's not left up to your knee. Should I go on more? Well, take drinking. I said, we believe in drinking in the Lord's church. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, wait. You mean rum? No, sir. Now, Matthew, if Jesus Christ had told us to drink rum, we would have to drink it. Mr. Mitchell, what do you drink? Coconut water, I'm told it's good for you. No, sir, that's not what we drink in the Lord's church. You know what Jesus Christ said? It must be fruit of the vine. You get my drift? It was not left up to you and me. So if the drinking that is done here must be in keeping with the commands of Jesus Christ, in a few minutes I'm going to tell you why. For example, we believe in studying in the Lord's church, in worship. Do we study Marcus Aurelius? No, sir. Do we study Karl Marx's Capital? That's what really gives communism to the world. No, sir. Do we study Shakespeare, Romeo, and Juliet? No, sir. What do we study? In fact, let the Apostle Paul speak on it in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if my memory serves me right, from verse 3 to verse 4. Let us hear it. Let us hear it.
If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words.
Wait, if any man teach otherwise. Somebody didn't hear that. Somebody didn't hear that. If any man teach otherwise. That means don't come up with something different from. If any man teach otherwise and consent not
to wholesome words.
To wholesome word. Watch here now. He's not going to leave it up to us to determine what wholesome word is. He's going to tell us what wholesome word is. Even
the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Everybody hear that? So why we study and teach and preach in the church, it was not left up to us to study or preach any and any. It must be the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read on.
And to the doctrine.
And to the doctrine which is?
Which is according to godliness.
Mm-hmm.
He is proud.
That person who teach otherwise. Huh? Wait. The person come and tell you that sprinkling is baptism. That's teaching otherwise. Because that's nowhere is that found in the gospel. The Bible said that person is proud.
Knowing nothing.
That person is ignorant.
But doubting about questions and strives of words.
Step down to verse 5.
Perverse, disputing of men of corrupt minds.
Mm-hmm.
And destitute of the truth.
Wait. Destitute of the truth. Everybody get that? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Bible says people who come and teach contrary to the doctrine and teachings of Christ, the Bible says not only are they ignorant, it says they are destitute of God's truth. Listen further. From such,
supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
Somebody didn't hear that. Read that again.
From such withdraw thyself.
You all hear that? That means don't have any fellowship with them. Huh? What are you on, Brother Mitchell? The fact that, yes, we do believe in music in the church. Just like we believe in eating bread in the church. The big hell and heaven question is what kind of bread? We do believe in drinking in the church. The big question is what kind of drink? In fact, as healthy as water is, that's not what we are to drink. Y'all get it? Ladies and gentlemen, are we there? Look here. Like, in fact, so I extend it now, I get to the real point. What kind of music shall we have in the church? You see, when I use things like eating bread in the church, and the Bible informs you that it must be unleavened bread without any leavening in it, any baking powder, any yeast. Huh? The Bible informs us that we must drink, but not just what we like. It must be drink that come from the vine. Huh? The Bible informs us that we must study, but not Karl Marx capital, which gave communism to the church. Not Marcus Aurelius meditation. Not Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. What we must study, it's the word of Jesus Christ. Are we there? Now, so we come to the point. We are talking about, you do not believe in music in worship. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, like the wood, like the timber, that build Noah's ark. Are we there? Are we there? Yes. Like the timber. Like the timber. Like the timber or wood that built Noah's ark. It was not left up to Noah's imagination. Everybody understand that? When God commanded Noah to build the ark, God did not say to Noah, go and build me an ark and you choose the timber you want. Go and build me an ark, you choose the wood you want. It was not left up to Noah's like or dislike. Everybody gets it? It was not left up to Noah's guess or feeling. Everybody gets it? If you don't believe me, look in the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 12 following. Quick, brother, quick. Let us hear it.
And God looked upon the earth.
And God looked upon the earth.
And behold.
And behold.
It was corrupt.
It was corrupt.
For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the
earth. All flesh had corrupted God's ways upon the earth.
And God said unto Noah.
And God said to Noah.
The end of all flesh is come.
The end of all flesh.
Is come before
me. Is come before me.
For the earth is filled with violence.
Because the earth is filled with violence.
Through them.
Through them.
And behold.
Behold.
I will destroy them with the earth.
God says, I'm going to destroy them with the earth.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Make thee an
ark of gopher wood.
May I? Why God had to qualify what he must do? Just, couldn't you just say, God, make me an ark and you find the timber, you find the wood. You get it? Noah was a grown man. Probably at this time well over 80 or whatever. God says, go for wood. God told the man the type of timber he should use. You know what that tells me? Once God specified what type of timber should make the ark, it excludes every other timber. It's important that you get that part because it will come in the lesson further down. Once the Almighty God specified that it must be gopher wood, that exclude, somebody would say, but God didn't say he cannot use cedar. God said it. By telling him what to use, Noah couldn't use cedar. Somebody may wrongly reason and say, God didn't tell him not to use mahogany. Yes, God did. By telling him what to use, it excludes mahogany. You get the point? This is what he should use, nothing else. Are we there? Mr. Mitchell, I thought you were talking about music. Yes! So I asked the question. What kind of music? May I? You know who decides that? God. God. In fact, may I? God decides what kind of music Because worship is not about you and me. We do not share, in a sense, the reverence, the honor, the homage that we give to God. That is not share. We give that to God, and that belongs to God alone. That is, if it is going to be acceptable worship. When you and I come out to worship, you do not come out thinking, well, I wonder if they're going to do this because that's what I like. I wonder if they're going to do that because that. You don't. Your meditation and concentration and thought pattern should be, I wonder if they're going to do what God wants. That's what true worship is about. Are we all there? Are we all there? Worship is all about God. It's never about what you like or what I want or what seems good to the other. Never! Are we there? Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, look here. Look at the passage of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. And then, afterward, the one that all of us know, St. John chapter 4, verse 23-24. Let us have those two passages. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. Read aloud, brother.
If thou wilt turn away thy foot.
May I have your attention? May I have your attention, please? The Almighty God, I don't have your attention. In this passage in Isaiah, God was speaking to the Israelite nation. Are we there? Primarily to the Israelite nation. But the passage is a good example about what God requires and desires in worship. So God speaking to the Israelite nation, he said, start again, brother.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
Remember, the Sabbath was given only to Israel. Remember that. It was never given to the Gentiles. So God said, if thou shalt
turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
From doing thy pleasure on my holy day.
Uh-huh.
And call the Sabbath a delight.
Wait. Brother Webb. Everyone look here. When you do your pleasure on the Sabbath, when the Israelites did their pleasure, they turned away from God. As the passage is going to reveal, when they should be worshiping God and seek their own pleasure, they are not worshiping God. Read on, brother.
And shall call the holy of the Lord honorable,
mm-hmm.
And shall honor him.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing thine own ways.
Wait. That means if you are going to honor God, you must not do your own
ways.
Read on.
Nor finding thine own pleasure.
You must never seek to please your... Everybody gets that? In worship, whenever your thoughts and actions turn toward pleasing yourself, it ceases to be worship and becomes entertainment. Worship is not about the worshiper. Now seek your own pleasure. That means don't go out to worship to please and satisfy yourself, only in so far as you know that you please and satisfy God. Read on.
nor speaking thine own words.
Y'all get that? You should not even speak your own word when you worship God. Talk about, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Everybody gets it? Not even your own words. If worship going to be true worship, then listen, Jesus Christ, now in the book of St. John, chapter 8, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24.
But the hour cometh.
For the hour cometh.
And now is.
And now is.
When the true worshippers shall worship
when
the Father.
When the true worshipper
shall worship the Father.
What kind of worshipper?
True worshippers.
What kind of worshipper?
True worshippers.
Somebody didn't hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that's the kind of worshipper God is looking? True worshipper shall worship the Father
in spirit and in truth.
Read on.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
God is in search for a particular kind of worshipper. Not just any and any worshipper. Wait, I didn't tell you that in God's word, watch here. While most of our members know this, but for our visiting friend, the Bible, the Bible speaks of one vain worship. Are we all there? Two, the Bible speaks of ignorant worship. Now, this is worship in which men and women engage. But God does not accept that one. The Bible speaks of ignorant worship. God does not accept that either. The Bible speaks of will worship. God does not accept that either. Now, the Bible speaks of a fourth type of worship, and that is true worship. You know, I didn't know. Yes, the Bible tells us about vain worship, which religious men and women engage in. This is in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. The Bible tells us of ignorant worship. This is in the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 17. Read all the chapter, it will benefit you, and you will find ignorant worship there. The Bible tells us of will worship. This is in the book of Colossians. Now, the Bible speaks of true worship. And the brother is there. For God seeketh to worship him. Read.
God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
And they that worship him.
Anyone who worships God.
Must worship him.
Must worship God a particular way. It must. Notice the imperative. Look at verse 24 again.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
You notice? Must. You and I have no option. It must be done God's way. Worship must conform to God's nature. God is a spirit. Worship must be spiritual, which means it must be genuine, it must be sincere. It must be directed to God. And worship must not only conform to God's nature, it must conform to God's word in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you and I, in fact, let me make it, because we cannot go out and just worship God any and any. Wait. We cannot give God just any and any music. Are we there? In the same way, we cannot just eat any and any bread on the Lord's table. Let me say a few words about worship. May I please? Christians. Y'all remember the tabernacle? And y'all, in fact, the book of Leviticus, I might say more about that in the lesson here. The book of Leviticus is the most expensive book in the entire Bible about worship. Of course, it was Old Testament worship. But the entire book of Leviticus is about the worship of the Israelite. Watch here. Those of us who study the Bible realize that for Israel, it was a life of constant worshiping. Every day the priests have to enter the tabernacle. In addition to other family worship. May I? Like Israel. Christian, get this. Like Israel. Constant worship is essential and important to a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Christian, understand that. Regular worship, constant worship, sincere worship, is not just an optional thing. It is absolutely necessary and essential if you are going to have a right relationship with God. If you notice that your worship life is haphazard and scanty, when you feel, when it is convenient, that alone tells us that something is wrong with our relationship with God. The true child of God must worship regularly, sincerely, constantly. It is essential for a right relationship with the Almighty God. And when we talk about worship, we are talking about these are the occasion when the true children of God deliberately, did I say deliberately, and willingly set aside ordinary everyday activities to think about God and to engage in acts or activities which honor the Almighty God, which reverence the Almighty God, and which glorify the Almighty God. Worship is a necessity and it is also a privilege. Don't take worship lightly. When you notice that your worship life is haphazard, that alone is telling you that something is terribly wrong with your relationship with God. Are we there? Yes, we are. And the type of music. Are we there? Brothers and sisters, listen to you. Cain did not understand that true worship, acceptable worship, was not about him, was not about Cain. It was not about Cain's like or dislike. It was not about Cain's fancy. In fact, it was neither about Cain's convenience. Did you all know that Cain gave what was convenient for him? Mr. Mitchell, do you learn that from the Bible? Yes. It tells us that he was a tiller of the ground. It tells us that his brother Abel reared sheep. From all that you read about the two of them and their worship, you know that God had told them what he wanted. It was a blood sacrifice that God asked for. But it was much more convenient for Cain to give something from the soil. That's what he gave. God rejected it. Huh? Cain didn't understand, like men and women today, that worship is not about us. It's not about our fancy, our likes, our dislikes. It is not about our convenience. Read it now, brother. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, 1 through 7. Quick, quick, quick. There are a few things that... Quick, quick, quick.
And Adam knew his wife.
Adam knew his wife.
And she conceived.
And she conceived.
And bare Cain.
She bare Cain.
And said...
She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
And she again bare his
she
brother
again
Abel.
Bare his brother Abel.
And Abel was
a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
And in the process
of time,
it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground.
Cain brought of the fruit of the ground
an offering unto the Lord.
And Abel.
He also brought of the firstlings of
he
his flock.
He also brought of the firstlings
of his flock.
Of his flock.
And of the fat thereof.
And of the fat thereof. Watch here now. Listen this now.
And the Lord had
respect
unto Abel.
Unto Abel.
And his offering.
Unto his offering.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain.
Wait, no, brother, where you are rushing me for? Everybody got what you have just read a while ago? That God had respect unto Abel and to his worship. It says offering. That means what Abel gave. But then over the other side, now two brothers worshiping God at the same time. And the other side, it says, but unto Cain and to his worship or offering, God did not have
respect.
Any respect. Do you get it? I same thing going on today. There are many people, thousands upon thousands of men and women who are engaged in thinking that they are worshiping God, but they are not. Because they are not following God's instruction. Are we? Nadab and Abihu did not understand that true and acceptable worship was not about what they feel or what they like. Wait. Neither was it about their convenience. May I? Here is a simple situation. You talk about convenience. Where the Almighty God told them where to light their censer from. There were two possible places. One, the altar of burnt offering right at the entrance of the tabernacle. You know, I think you all left this drawing here still. I saw it on the... thank you all for leaving it. That's right. There were two places they could light their censer from the candlestick. and they could light it from here. But the Almighty God had specified where they should light it from. If my memory serves me right, it seems they should have lit it from here. But they didn't. The reason, like you and me, all fire is same fire. Listen it now. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. Listen it.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon.
Wait. All this, you know, they are right. They are correct. Now, watch here now. It's where they're going to light their incense from that going to make all the difference to God. Read on.
And offered strange fire before the Lord.
Which he
commanded them not.
Why was the fire strange? And when you compare that with how we think, all fire is the same fire. It was strange simply because of the place it was taken from. Are we there? If God says, light your censer from the altar outside, you cannot light it from anywhere else. May I point out something here, brothers and sisters? Listen good. I need your attention. An hermeneutical principle in the Bible. Get this. That is, if you are going to understand the Bible, the first instance or the first example of any teaching in the Bible, where it was introduced first by God, that set the pattern for how God wants you to see the thing. Very important. Very important. Let me say it again. In the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, where God introduced something first, the Almighty God wants you to use that to get some understanding in respect to how the thing works, how the thing should be understood. The first worship we read of is that of Cain and Abel. Are we there? I'm going to show you something now. The first worship we read of in the entire Bible is that of Cain and Abel. Now, I have just told you that the first example, the first instance of anything the Bible deals with teach, God wants you to use that first instance to get an understanding in respect to how the thing works, the nature of the thing. Now, look at in respect to the worship that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. That's Cain and Abel. From verse 1. Verse 1 following. To understand that better, you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Let us hear it. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Quick, brother.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
By what, brother?
By which he obtained...
By faith. Are we there? Don't take that phrase, by faith, lightly.
by faith Abel offered unto God a more
excellent sacrifice,
which means a better worship than his brother. You all get it? By faith. But wait, this faith doesn't mean just merely believing. Notice where this faith comes from. Romans 10:17.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Everybody get that? Wait. You need to get this. When the Bible says, by faith, Abel, offer, it means by listening and obeying the word of God, Abel offered a better sacrifice. And what the Bible is telling us here, in effect, that the Almighty God did not leave it up to Cain or Abel to determine what God wanted. Wait, you need to get this. You do not guess what God wants. You do not imagine what God wants. You do not reason out what God wants. God has to instruct you in respect to what He wants. That's right. It's not something we guess, imagine, or feel. The Almighty God had told these two young men what He wanted. The one who listened to God's word keenly is the one who succeeded in pleasing God. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? We cannot guess what music God wants. You're wondering when I'm coming back to the subject. Huh? You cannot imagine what music God wants in the church. And don't use the music you want to determine what God wants. That's right. Huh? May I? So much so, are we there? So much so that the Almighty God tells us, rather, warned us that we cannot do in God's house what we do in our house. Oh my God. What happened, you know? I want to look on the time. I want to look on my watch, but I'm afraid to look on it. So a while ago, I almost take up my hand to look on the watch, but I'm afraid because there's a little more of this lesson I want you to get. But so I don't want to understand how late it is. I'm sorry I have the watch on. What did I just say? That so much so that the Almighty God tells us that we cannot do in His house what we do in our house. That's how much important it is that we realize that you do not guess what God wants. The restaurant would run out of business if each time a patron go in the restaurant, the cook and others determine, you know, that man likes curry goat. That woman likes steamed fish. No, they have to come to you and find out what you want. So it is with God. Don't guess what God wants. Don't imagine it. Don't use your life to determine what God, just as the Almighty God told Cain and Abel what He wants. And Cain listened. That's what it meant by faith, mean by listening to the word of God. Abel succeeded in giving God what God asked for. Huh? Mr. Mitchell, you talk about so much so that God warned us that we can't do in His house what we do in our house. Run to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 22.
When you come together, therefore, into one place.
When you come together in one place.
This is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
Brother Way, you know it's talking about the communion. And it is telling the Corinthians that the way they were doing it, they were really not taking the Lord's Supper. That's what they thought, you know. Huh? You see how we can be off track? The Corinthians thought they were taking the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit in Paul says, when you come together, when you assemble, meet to worship, you are not taking the Lord's Supper. Read on.
For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken.
Wait, follow me here now, because I'm trying to show you that God is telling us in this passage that the way you eat at your own yard, in your own house, you cannot eat that way at Christ's house. And just the same way with the subject of music. Don't give God the music you like. Find out from Him the one He wants. In a little while, I'll be showing you that there is vocal music and instrumental music. If we get to that today. Yes. For in eating and drinking, everyone, watch here now, each takes his, her, own meal. Watch here. Before the other. Well, what's wrong with that? We do that at home, huh? Sometimes one of us, we are hungry more than the other one. So the breakfast or the lunch or the dinner, whatever is ready, and one might not be prepared. You have a good breakfast, a good lunch at work, and you had it late. But probably the other person who is a part of the family, children or husband, wife, visitor, they might be hungry. Go and help yourself, John. I don't feel for anything to it. Not wrong with that. Huh? That's what we do at our own house. Watch here now. Read on.
What?
What?
Have you not houses to eat and to drink in?
Wait. You all got it? Where, when you come together, that is for worship, to celebrate the Lord's communion. Each take his, her own meal before the other. The Holy Spirit says, what? Don't you have your
houses to eat and to drink in?
You all get that? What he said, you can do that at your own house. You cannot do that at Jesus' house. You read on.
Or despise ye the church of God.
You see, the church of God is the house of God. And what he's saying, no, I don't feel despised when Sister Mitchell takes her meal before me. Sister Mitchell is always wondering how I can go on up to 10, 11, 12, not eating breakfast, and function. If there's something in the house or at the yard I need to do, I can go on. But you know what? All 11 o'clock at night, I eat. So when I get up, my belly is full. But Sister Mitchell doesn't eat late. You know? So she has to get up in the morning early and have her breakfast. But I can jump in the car, go about business, and I don't feel like I'm going to fit. No. So if I get up early and see her eating before me, that's no business. But what the Bible is saying, that's okay at our house. But you see, at Jesus' house, You eat the way Jesus Christ wants you to eat. If you are going to give God music, you give the music that Jesus Christ wants you to give. I'm closing the lesson there. So, yet, read the passage, no brother. What?
Have you not houses to eat?
Don't you? That means your own house. Remember, the church of Christ is the house of God. You may not do in the church, which is God's house, what you do in your own house. Have you not your own house to eat? Or despise you the church of God? That means the way you are eating at God's house, you are eating like you are at your own house. Paul is saying you can do this at your own house, but don't do it at God's house. Read on a little further. Somebody said, where the brother is reading from? 1 Corinthians chapter
11, verse 22.
Read.
Have you not houses to eat and to drink in?
Mm-hmm.
Or despise ye the church of God?
Uh-huh.
And shame them that have not?
Uh-huh.
What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
That's right. They were under condemnation. But watch here. Verse 22 finish. Yes. Step down to verse 29 and 30.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself.
May I? We are closing, but not the lesson, though. Only part of the lesson I'll have to pick up. Watch here. In old time, and even now, we teach our children proper dining etiquette, huh? How they should sit around the table. There's not much of that now. You know. When we were growing up, as poor as our family might be, we learned to use knife and fork. I remember when I went to college in the U.S., many of the students could know that I am from a British colony. Because I hold the fork in the left and the knife in the right. As we are told, in wartime gone, many of the Allied soldiers betray themselves when they go in restaurants where Germans were, and the way they hold their knives and fork betray them. That's how we were taught. Now, what the Bible here is implying is that even eating, even the way you eat in God's house. Listen to the passage the brother just read.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Many times we misinterpret the word unworthily. The emphasis on the word is not so much on, watch here, it's not so much on the worshipper, watch me, or the condition of the worshipper's life. It is more on how they were eating the Lord's Supper. In other words, the word is an adverb. It is not an adjective. Had it been an adjective, it would be qualifying most likely the person who takes. It is an adverb and therefore qualifying the verb, how they take. And what it is saying here is that
how we eat in God's house is not left up to us. Same way, the music we use in God's house is not left up to us.
We'll have to pick up on the music next week. You notice? Okay, so far, I only mention, and I'm hinting now at where we are going to go. There is vocal or singing music, and there is instrumental or playing music. Which one does God ask for? Are we all there? Are we all there? Look here now. We are going to bring in David, harps, and all this next week. You all heard about the ark? The ark was the center of worship under the Old Testament system. I'm going to show you that under that system, no instrument of music. No instrument of music was ever brought inside of the ark. None. But Brother Mitchell, we read a trumpet. They blow the trumpet and all of that. Next week we look at that. We're going to take a good look at David's instrument and listen what God says about them. Not simply in the book of Amos. Whoa! Which of course is a condemnation. There are some other passages that will shine light on David's music. Don't miss next week's lesson when we finish up this one. If you are here today, you are not a child of God. If you forget anything, remember this. Worship is not about us, the worshiper. It's about the Almighty God. It means that we must listen to what God says in respect to what He wants and how we are to worship Him. Worship was never meant to be entertainment for man. If you have been wrongly led about worship, what it is, true worship. The Almighty God no doubt brought you here this morning to listen to this lesson. Don't walk away and not give Jesus Christ your life, because that is the implication of God's word. That when God opens your eyes to the truth, you will respond to it.